are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Not really.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh boy.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Thanks for coming over. This won't take long. Nobody twisted your arm. You didn't have to do this. We'll see what happens. You know, a lot of people think this show is free, but it's not. We charge you on an annual basis. You owe me $20,000. PayPal. How about PayPal? You know how they came up with that name? You know, they, hey, you owe me money. Hey, PayPal. Hey, pal. You better pay me, pal. That's how they came up with that. That's enough. That's enough of the opening segment. Thank you so much. How are you? How you doing today? Good, fine. Good to be with you. I don't really know anymore. Oy. You know that expression, don't cry over spilt milk? I don't even know what that means. Did you ever cry over spilt milk? Did you ever knock over a glass of milk and then you went into some type of a emotional seizure? I mean, no. Nobody cries over spilt milk. Now, I have cried over knocking over a glass of vodka. That's worth crying about. But milk? Come on. If anybody should be upset, it would be the cow. Hey, you know, all that milk all over the floor and the table, you know what it took for me to get milked like that? Oh, no. It's crazy stuff, isn't it? Anyway, orange juice. Ugh. I used to drink orange juice. My mother used to tell me that drinking orange juice gave me energy and vitamin C. Yeah, right. Come on, what it did, it gave me the acid reflux is what it did. That stuff is acidic. God. Go to the supermarket, they've got pulp and no pulp. I don't know. I don't think I want pulp. That means somebody didn't squeeze it properly and all the pulp got in. I confuse pulp and pope a lot. I do, because I don't think I hear properly. And when they tell me that there's no pope in the orange juice, why would you put a pope in the orange juice? No, pulp, P-U-L-P. Oh, it sounds so much the same. I don't want pulp in it. I don't put pulp in my orange juice. No pulp, please. I don't like orange juice. I never did. It's way too. I don't do the acid stuff anymore. I don't. I just don't. I stay away from anything acidic. When I turned about 40 years old, my body said, "That's enough. That'll be enough, please. Thank you. Let's start making some choices now." Oh, yeah. When you're younger, you go to McDonald's and Burger King and all those places, you know, and you Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, my God. Those things will kill you eventually. You know, you eat that stuff, you don't think twice about it. You have ribs and all that kind of thing. Yeah, barbecue. Yeah, but barbecue. You just shove all kind of meats down your throat, you know, fat and all. And then you reach a certain age and all of a sudden you go, I can't do this anymore. It's probably not a good idea. You have this rude awakening, this aha Oprah moment where you go, wait a minute. I can't live like this anymore. And it's true because your body starts, I wouldn't say deteriorating as much as starts slapping you upside the head. Your body just starts saying, you know, all that stuff you're putting in your body and all the stuff you're doing, there's consequences, and now they're going to start hitting. Wow. I remember when I was a kid falling off my bicycle by mistake, not on purpose. I'm not silly that way. I remember, like, you know, every once in a while you'd fall off your bike and you get a little bit of a scrape on your elbow or somewhere on your leg or something. And you get up and you brush yourself off and you keep riding. No, that doesn't happen. At a certain age, you fall off that bike and you're in surgery. And you don't get up off the street either. You lie on the ground for a good 6-7 hours, writhing in pain. It's very different. It's just what happens when you reach a certain age. Do you ever see like a 10-year-old kid lying on the ground? I've fallen and I can't get up. Doesn't happen. But with a person, oh God, all you got to do is like reach over to pick up a penny off the ground and you topple because your equilibrium's off a little bit. And that, now you're on the ground until the paramedics show up. It's, how did that happen? And it's overnight, too. It's overnight. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. She's 35 years old. And she's starting to say that when she wakes up in the morning, she has pain because she slept wrong. And I responded by saying, well, didn't you read the book on sleeping? How can you do that wrong? And she laughs a little bit because it's a stupid comment. But then she says, no, I'm serious. I get up and I all of a sudden I'm having like pains from like sleeping in the wrong position or something. I don't know what I did. I was sleeping. And I said, welcome to the real world. Everything that happened to your body before that this age that you're in was just like have fun, enjoy, because there comes a point where everything has consequences. Everything has consequences. Should I pick up a pencil and write something down? Oh, I could get graphite lead poisoning. I don't know. It's true. It's absolutely true. You got to start being careful. Careful about the foods that you put in your body and the activities that you do. I see these seniors skiing on a mountain. And I tap them on the shoulder as they're going down the mountain. I say, don't you realize if you fall skiing at your age, this could be serious? And they say, no, that's okay. A month later, they're in traction. It's just the way it is. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, welcome to the program. Boy, that was a negative way to start the show, wasn't it? But that's what I do, you see. That's what I do. You point out things that are obvious, but nobody really says them. I have no filter. I do have a filter, actually. This could be a lot worse. I'll tell you something that I really can't stand, and you're probably with me on this. Probably. I hate standing online for anything. Anything. I hate standing online. I hate ticket holders line. I already have a ticket. I already paid for it. Now you're making me stand online? No. No. I hate standing online. I hate it. I hate going to stores where to get up to the register. There's like five people online. It's like, excuse me, you're a store. I have money in my pocket or credit card, whatever the case may be. I'm willing to pay you for this. I'm willing to give you money from my wallet or my purse, whatever you may be. I'm willing to do it right now. But you're saying, no, stand online and I'll take your money when I'm ready. What an attitude. I've never understood that. The American public just doesn't understand how wrong that is. Hey, I got money. I'll give you money. Stand online. I'll get to you. Just wait. You don't understand. I'm offering you money. I don't like it. I don't like it. And you get to the register, whether it be at Walmart or in a supermarket or whatever the case may be. And you get to the register and you feel like you've achieved something in life. And what's the payoff? I got to give money. It should be the longer I wait, the less I have to pay. Yeah, I want to buy this bag of chips. They're $4.95, way overpriced. You got to wait online? I'll tell you what, I'll wait, but I'm only going to give you a dollar. That's the way it should be. Shouldn't be paying full price when I got to stand in line. Should be discounts. Like every five people that you have to wait in line, the price goes down a dollar. It's something like that. You know what I'm saying? No, sir. I don't like people like that when they're having conversations with you and they constantly say, you know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying. You keep interrupting yourself by saying, know what I'm saying. If I knew what you were saying, there'd be no reason for you to say anything. I don't know what you're saying. Here's another sign that you're getting old. What are we making a list now? Is that what we're doing? Here's another sign that you're getting old. You turn on the radio or stream, whatever you happen to do, and you're listening to music or you're watching a late night television show and they have guests on, you know, like on the Colbert Show or the Tonight Show, whatever the case may be, and they have a list of guests. And you have no idea who the hell these people are. None whatsoever. They're actors, actresses, even worse, they're musical groups. You have no idea who they are. I was watching, this is how old I am. They had a commercial for the MTV Music Awards. Now, I used to watch MTV when I was a little bit younger. I knew everybody. I knew all the songs. So there's a commercial for the MTV Music Awards. And Friday night, the MTV Music Awards with special musical guests, Little Shammy, Belen Dadu, Fists of Pleasure, Nancy O'Dell, Bobby O'Kraken, Little Miss Muppethop. They're naming all these people. I have no idea who they are. It sounds like they're just making up words. If I heard the song, I may be familiar with it, but probably not even that. But they list these celebrities. I've never heard of them before. That's how you know you're getting a little bit in the age department. Yeah, I know. But, you know, no matter how young you are, you're going to grow old too, and you will also find these to be pleasurable problems. Little Miss Susan on the MTV, hosted by Bad Boy Dickie. I don't know who you, what are you saying? Are you making stuff up? Is nobody appearing? You're just throwing words together and making them names? No, Ron, these are very popular artists. Oh, they're artists. I said, okay, fine. I don't know what artists are. I get confused. When they talk about paintings, I get confused about that. I don't know if it's a guy who owns a Ford pickup truck with a ladder in it and he goes to your house and he paints your ceiling or your bedroom. I don't know the difference between that and Van Gogh and Rembrandt. They're all painters. I guess Van Gogh, Rembrandt, those are artists. Would the guy with the truck and the ladder painting your bedroom, would he or she be an artist? Probably. What's the difference? Every once in a while, I'll go to a modern art museum. They have them all over the country. Modern art museums are nothing but jokes. They are jokes. They are pranks that they're playing on the American public. I remember going to one, it was at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. I believe it's on 53rd Street and 5th, I believe, or 6th, no, it's between 5th and, never mind. Anyway, so I went in there, very popular, always crowded, always got to wait in line. Hey, I want to give you money to go into your museum. No, I'm sorry, you have to wait in line. What? I go in there, and on the wall, there's this giant painting. I'd say it's about 6 feet by 4 feet. It's huge. It's hanging on a wall. There's spotlights on it. And the painting, it's a white canvas with a dot in the middle, a blue dot. And people are staring at this like, oh, this is incredible. Why? Why is that incredible? It looks like somebody just by mistake got some blue paint on the white canvas and now it's a piece of art? Are you freaking kidding me? But these art aficionados, or not even, are staring at this thing like it's an incredible, monumental piece of art. And I stare at them more than I do the painting, trying to figure out what I'm not seeing or just how stupid they actually are. I get very confused at art museums, the modern art ones especially. I remember going to a museum and near the exit door to another room, there was a fire extinguisher. It was red, hanging on the wall, as by law you have to do near exits in case of fire. What I do is, and it's very funny, I stand there with my camera, and I stand in front of the fire extinguisher, not too close to it, about maybe 4 feet back, and I stare at it like it's a piece of modern art. And I take my camera out and I take a picture of it, and I just stare at it. Before long, and it doesn't take long, you'll get other people standing behind you, staring at the fire extinguisher as well, wondering what the hell I'm staring at for, this fire extinguisher. And then they start to think, maybe this is a piece of art. Maybe it's very carefully and artistically hanging on the wall, the red object against the white wall is indeed an amazing perspective on emergency fire art. And that's what happens. If I were a security guard at an art museum, one of these guards that, you know, they don't carry weapons or anything, but they just, well, they usually wear like sloppy suits. It's like they went to Walmart and picked up a shirt that doesn't really fit them anymore. And they give them a jacket, and now they're security guards. They think that they're dressed up, but they're not. And they walk around, and they're hired by the museum, and that you just keep an eye on the public and make sure there's no problems and or no one takes a painting or something. But all you do is you walk around all day within the same room, and I'm... What a horrible job this is. You do absolutely nothing. You don't say anything to anybody. you just stand there and pace a little bit for 6 hours. Dressed up, looking like you're dressed up, but you're really not because nothing fits. And I look at these security guard museum people just standing there. And I feel great pity for them. But at the same time, I can't imagine not doing that job and thinking, look at all these schmucks here looking at these paintings. That is so boring. The Mona Lisa. The hell? Some guy painted a picture of his somebody sitting there in a chair. I don't get it. I've seen other paintings of people sitting in chairs. I don't get it. Whistler's mother. What was so special about her? I don't know. I think all that happened was Whistler, or whoever the artist, I don't even know who painted that thing. A guy named Bob Vila or something. He said to his mother, hey, Mom, can you sit down? I want to do a painting of you.
Okay, son.
Boom. Work of art. I don't understand it. Some of the impressionists, I don't understand that. I don't understand the difference between an impressionist like Van Gogh and an impressionist who does celebrity voices. They're both impressionists. One paints, the other does voices. A lot of the impressionists, they're giving their impression of a painting. It's out of focus. I can't tell what it is. And yet it's revered and worth $7 million. I don't understand it. I appreciate art, but only to an extent. Let's stop playing games. Do you people all get together outside the museum and say, let's go into the museum and stare at the paintings on the wall and fuck with people and make them think that it's incredible, but we'll just fuck with them. I think that's what's happening. I think it's like one large fraternity initiation or something. I don't quite understand it. I think I talked about this a few days ago or maybe 7 years ago. I don't know which. This TikTok thing, which is an app that I thought had various clock widgets on it, but apparently it's a social media app. And it's where people go to screw with each other and do challenges that will probably make you die in the long run. TikTok's slogan is, don't ever take a picture or a video for TikTok holding the camera horizontally like you should. Always do it vertically so there's nothing to see on the sides of your picture. Anyway, the latest TikTok thing, and you probably read this already, is to take raw chicken and cook it in NyQuil or in various cough medicines. I don't know why. It sounds dangerous. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, I think is what it stands for, said don't do that. The CDC actually had to issue a formal statement that said, don't do that. It's not good. Do not cook raw chicken in in NyQuil. I don't know. I don't know if it's tasty or not. I don't know. I don't want to go to a restaurant and look at the entrees, and they've got chicken piccata, chicken marsala, and chicken NyQuil. I mean, come on. Cough syrup is not an ingredient in food preparation. Maple syrup on pancakes. How about that? How about pancakes with cough syrup? Mmm. And a little whipped cream and a strawberry. Well, CDC said that's not good to do. Oh, okay. Because it sounded real tasty. When you go to IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, sounds like an organization, international organization. We've gathered all the House of Pancakes worldwide and started an international grouping. It's an agency. I'm with the International House of Pancakes. Oh, what did I do wrong? They have the syrup on the table. I think they still do that. I haven't been into an International House of Pancakes for a long time because I've been banned from many nations. They have boysenberry syrup. And by the way, I don't know what a boysenberry, I know a poisonberry, but a boysenberry, I don't know if I've ever had it, what it tastes like. I've heard of it, but it's not something one would indulge in on purpose. They have maple syrup, boysenberry syrup, strawberry syrup, and cough syrup. That's becoming very popular. It's not a bad deal. It's tasty. Try it on vanilla ice cream. You can't go wrong, says TikTok. I don't know what the hell's happening. When I was growing up, well before I was born, I think the colleges had this little fad where you would see how many college students you could fit into a phone booth. Many people don't know what a phone booth is. I'm not going to get into it. If you don't know what it is, just skip over this part. Fast forward here. They wanted to see how many students, college students usually, they could fit into a phone booth. And there was no CDC back then to say, don't do that, don't do that. I don't think anybody really got hurt, but I guess there were little fads of stupidity that have gone on through the years. Yeah, I think back in the olden days, it was a fad to see how many soldiers you could fit into a Trojan horse. I think that was a college thing as well. As a matter of fact, I think the football team is actually called the Trojans. I don't know which school it is, but I think it's true. Trojans are also contraceptives. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how they got that name for something that you slip over your penis. I don't know. It must have been a board meeting. What are we going to call this thing? How about balloons? How about tiny balloons? Personal balloons? No, that's not good. What are we going to call it here? Sausage intestines for your male part? No, I know that's too long. It's too long. Can't fit that on the package. How about Trojans? Why? I don't know. We're running out of time. Call it a Trojan. But it doesn't make any sense. It has nothing to do with a Trojan. I know. Let's just call it that anyway. Get it over with. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just about out of time. But before we do, I do need to play a commercial because someone has to pay for this. So I'm going to do that and then I'm going to say goodbye.
Every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.